Welcome to Caldwell University Conversations. I'm Colette Liddy. Campus ministry is an integral part of the life and spirit of a Catholic university. At Caldwell University, students have the opportunity to engage in the issues of our times in hands-on service work, prayer, and social justice activities. Planning that work takes quite a bit of ingenuity, organization, and some heavy lifting, especially in a pandemic. Here to talk about this is Colleen O'Brien, Director of Campus Ministry at Caldwell University. Welcome, Colleen. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Yeah, it's good to be here too. Thanks for having me.
So if you could put it in a nutshell, what is the mission of your office?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always kind of touch back to something that I think it was my supervisor when I was in grad school. I was a graduate assistant in campus ministry. And something she said that campus ministry is always about, and it stuck with me, is that campus ministry and the mission of our office is about creating space for students to encounter God. And so it's not that we're, you know, forcing values or telling them what to believe. It's just about creating opportunities and activities that really allow the students to encounter God in their own way or whatever way the Holy Spirit wants to lead them to.
Mm, so that's very multifaceted, right? So can you go over some of those different areas that that might include?
Yeah, yeah. So I would say predominantly the biggest thing that I think students really connect with in terms of their faith or encountering God is really through service. So we have 2 week-long service experiences. So we have a week-long immersion trip to Belize and then a week-long service trip to Philadelphia over spring break, as well as having a service Saturday program. So just one Saturday a month, we try to do service in the local community. And while the week-long trips are not happening during the pandemic, we still have tried to do the service Saturday, where we do some local service connection for students. We also kind of focus on the idea of prayer life. So we have Sunday liturgies and adoration and just, you know, prayer services throughout the semester. I guess I should have started with this, but the way that we kind of focus our programming, especially being a Dominican school, is on the areas of prayer, study, community, and service. And those are typically known as the 4 Dominican pillars and areas of practicing Dominican life and spirituality. So I guess I would say that our programming really is structured around those 4 areas. And I really do feel like that, you know, focusing on those 4 areas allows for a variety. And so therefore a variety of students can then feel like they can connect with God, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely. Now it's interesting because you said we're in a pandemic and I know that you've been very innovative in trying to meet this challenge of how to be together, right? When we are apart. And I saw something at the end of the semester, right before Thanksgiving, that I thought was just so lovely that you were able to, it was a beautiful late Friday afternoon and the sun was out and it was in November, and you were able to pull off having a little retreat on campus in the midst of this. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, yeah. So I cannot take credit for that. that was actually initiated by some students. They they said, you know what, we really want to still try and get together. And so I worked with them and we made it work. We figured it out. But yeah, we gathered for a little bit in the chapel, knowing that we couldn't go. Usually our retreats, we go off campus, you know, overnight, but that just wouldn't be happening this year. So we gathered in the chapel a little bit. We were outside a little bit. And then we also used the Newman Center lobby, which is the space right outside the chapel, which is a pretty empty and big space. So we were able to spread out. We had a variety of activities. The students were really great. They wore masks the whole time. They were socially distant. It was just so nice to be able to gather. And I think something that I have found that students just need is, yes, the virtual community spaces can be great and those can be done really well. And I know students appreciate them. But I think the thing that we need to be aware of is sometimes it's so easy to just slip into like, oh, well, we can just do it virtual. So we'll just do it virtual. But like that in person, even if you have to still be 6 feet away from someone, that mm-hmm. in person still means so much to our students, I think. Like they just are still craving that community. And at the retreat, there were a lot of first year students. There were also some upperclassmen, but I think that's really telling that, you know, our first year students are really craving the college opportunities to like have those programs and to gather.
Sure, sure. But as far as the virtual goes, what will you be? We're starting a new semester. So as far as the virtual goes, will you still be offering that for students?
The virtual programming?
Yes, as we go yes. into the semester, starting the spring semester. And, yeah. and what kind of groups do you offer virtually?
Yeah, definitely. So every week we have a campus ministry community gathering, as we call it. It operates like a faith sharing group. So it's a weekly thing just for an hour. We gather virtually on Tuesday evenings, and there's usually some sort of topic. And then we kind of read a little bit and just reflect as a group on that topic. And I have found that that's been very helpful for students. It's interesting when we've always had this gathering for a few years now. And when we would do it in person, I'd always kind of like lean on maybe more of the hands-on activities, whether it was like artsy or crafty or, you know, things like that. But I have really found that in the virtual setting, students really still enter into that space where they can dive deep into their life and appreciate that too.
It's interesting. That's a little silver lining that came out of
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. And in terms of, you know, other programs, we'll still be doing the Midnight Run, which is in person, which happens just twice a semester.
And what is the Midnight Run?
Yeah. Yeah. So we go into New York City just for a few hours in the evening. And we pass out food, clothing, toiletries, et cetera, to men and women experiencing homelessness, living on the streets. And it looks a little bit different during the pandemic. So, you know, we all have masks and mm-hmm. there's a lot of gloves and hand sanitizer and all of that. But, you know, our offerings of what we pass out are a little bit more limited as well during the pandemic. And that's just to cut down on the contact, unfortunately. So hopefully we'll be back to normal shortly. But that's a program that students have always loved. And it's a nice change to have something in person, too.
Oh, sure. Now, sure. Another thing that came out of the pandemic is that you do interviews, CU Faith Fridays. And what has that been like yes. for you to talk to students about their faith journeys?
Yeah, it's actually been pretty awesome. It started as just an idea last spring. My husband, actually, who works for another university, started doing something with his students that he works with. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. In my mind, kind of like, how could I do that with my students? And sure. It came out, you know, CU Faith Fridays. So I really tried to do it, you know, once a week or at least a few times a month. But I first started with just students and have since kind of transitioned to some faculty and staff as well. But yeah, it's amazing, I think, to have those conversations with students that I wouldn't necessarily have if they were to just pop by my office. It's not like I would sit them down and be like, so tell me about your, you know, like your deepest moment of spirituality or something mm-hmm. like that, or how you came to, you know, have this like faith in God. So it's nice to have carved out that space where we can have those conversations. And I think in the long run, like, I really hope that it puts Caldwell on the map a little bit more as like a thriving university of faith. And for other people to see how deep our students are and what they go through and, how they see the world. I think.
Interesting. So in line with, in putting it on the map, where can people watch See You Faith Fridays?
Great question. So on our campus ministry YouTube channel, so Caldwell Campus Ministry YouTube channel, we have the weekly See You Faith Friday interviews, and we also have started streaming our Sunday liturgies. So our 7 p.m. Sunday liturgies are live streamed, and then they, you know, are archived on the YouTube channel for people to go back and watch later as well.
Wonderful. Okay, another reality of these times has been the economic turmoil, right? That students and families have experienced, many burdened with food insecurity. So here at Caldwell, we have the food pantry. I know you've been involved during the pandemic in managing, coordinating the donations from the campus community for students and their families that experience food insecurity. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I guess over the summer when, we still have the kind of the physical food pantry space, but over the summer, just because when the pandemic first happened, nobody kind of knew what was going on, right? We were trying to figure out what's the best way for all of these things to work. And knowing that so many of our students are in need, especially a lot of our international students who all of a sudden couldn't rely then on family overseas to help them because their families were struggling additionally. And so I was asked, whether it was because I live in proximity or being campus ministry, to help kind of oversee and facilitate some donations. And let me tell you, our faculty and staff truly just showed up for our students. I mean, it was amazing. We would do probably just like one collection a month, but the amount of food that was donated to help our students in need was amazing. It was just really beautiful to witness. And now that we're back in session, I've stepped in to kind of help out with the food pantry a little bit more. And truly, I mean, credit is due to the staff members who started the food pantry because they really laid it out so wonderfully. And to see now the work that was done a few years ago for now, perhaps maybe the greatest need that our students have at this point in time, it's really a treasure that we have this food pantry for our students in the first place. I will say faculty and staff, even some students come with food donations. And so people just have come out for them. And then recently during the season of Advent, we had the Dominican Sisters and the Dominican Associates who really collected gift cards for the food pantry. So it's just been this abundance, I guess, which is so great, because sometimes in the news or just the assumptions of this economic turmoil that we're in as a country due to COVID-19, it's like, you know, being able to see the opposite of that, that people still give so generously during this time. And it really helps our students, because when they come to the food pantry, they are in need and they're able to take whatever they need from the food pantry. We don't have to have restrictions. We don't have to have any of that. And so that's a really beautiful thing.
Wonderful. I'm hearing something here. Just as the church is called to respond to the times, would you say that campus ministry, that you try to respond to the times, that you try to look and see what are the needs?
Definitely. Yeah. And I think it comes not just from our Catholic identity, but also our Dominican identity. Our Catholic Dominican identity as Caldwell, like, we Dominicans are preachers at heart, right? And oftentimes in our Catholic world, we think, oh, that just means like you're up at the ambo or the lectern and you're preaching with your voice to people. But there's so many other ways to preach. And with the Dominican conference that we send our college students to annually, it's called Preaching with Your Life. And so it's about finding ways to respond to the signs of the times and the needs of people around us, and using like our not just our voice, but our hands in service and our feet and all of those things to really respond to people in need.
Well, you've certainly had quite a bit of experience in this area before you even came to Caldwell. What drew you to this work? Talk a little bit about your academic background and what drew you to this work and to working with young people, if you could.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess it first started when I was in high school. I went to public school throughout my whole life, I guess being, you know, one of eight children, but also in the Midwest, like our public schools were great. And so my parents, you know, kept us there. But then, you know, when it came time to look for colleges, you know, wanted to be in a Catholic college. But really in high school, I was very involved in our youth ministry program at our parish and really connected with my youth minister there. I still consider him a mentor for me even today. And just really started getting involved and just kind of as a teenager realized like, wow, I really love this work. Like this is not just fun, but it's meaningful. And I feel like I'm good at it too. And so when I went to college, I actually took my first religion class, you know, theology 101 or religion 101, whatever it was called. And I loved it even more. I was like, holy cow, this is like, this is wonderful. Like I love learning about this. I didn't know you could, you know, study this from an academic perspective as well. And I would say in conjunction with that, I had a summer internship at St. Meinrad, which is a Benedictine monastery in Southern Indiana. They had a program there called the One Bread, One Cup Conference. And, you know, high school students were able to come in and kind of throughout the week, really journey in how they themselves, even as a young person, can contribute to the workings of the church, right? And the ministry of the church. And so when I was in college, I was able to be an intern there. So those experiences coupled with my experience being in campus ministry in college and in high school, like it just really kind of solidified for me that, wow, this is something I really love and helping people. And I'd actually say like later in college, I went on to do a year of service after college. And in that time, I really was exploring the field of social work because I think sometimes like, you know, you decide like, okay, I really want to help people, for lack of a better term. And that can be done in so many different fields in so many different ways. But I think at that point in my life, I was like, okay, I think it's social work. Like I want to help people in need. I want to, you know, serve those on the margins. And so when I went in to do a year of service, that's kind of where my mind was at. But through my journey that year, I was working at the Catholic Worker House in Denver, which for those who might not know, the Catholic Worker movement was started by Dorothy Day in the 30s, I believe, in New York City in response to the Great Depression. And I just really found such a connection to Dorothy Day in my undergrad years as well as that year. And that that really stuck with me. But I think at the end of that year, I really realized like, wow, yes, I love helping people, but I really miss ministry and the faith element. And so after that year, I decided to stay in Denver, Colorado, and applied for a bunch of youth ministry positions, and I ended up getting a job as a campus minister. So yeah, it was never my intention or thought to be a college campus minister, but that was the job that I got, and I ended up loving it. I guess you could say it kind of solidified or changed the path of my life for me. So went on from there. But yeah, all of those things I think led to a confirmation of working in ministry.
And so your bachelor's and master's are in?
My bachelor's is in study, and then my master's is in theology.
We broke up a little bit there. So the bachelor's is in?
Psychology and religious studies. And then
very good combination, I'm sure, for your work now, right?
Yeah. And then my master's is in theology.
Wonderful. So I know you're involved in other campus initiatives across the campus, different projects, and you work under the Student Life Cluster. Can you talk about a few of the things that will be coming up in this semester?
Yeah, definitely. So last semester, one of my colleagues and I worked with three students to bring about an anti-racism lecture series to campus. So every week throughout the fall semester, we had a, I guess, the lecture series. So a different faculty member or staff member spoke, and it was a two-week part to their topic. And that worked really well. And so we'll be continuing that this semester. I believe we have a weekly time. It'll be either Monday or Wednesday around 5 o'clock, I think. But we're working to solidify that. And so that will go out soon. So really looking forward to that. And I do feel like that work connects so deeply with the campus ministry office. So in our work towards racial justice, and really the core of that is about helping everyone to recognize the inherent human dignity that we all have. We're also looking to bring a Catholic speaker, Gloria Purvis, to campus. She has been very active in the pro-life movement in the South, and had a radio show on EWTN. And we're really hoping to bring her to campus. She's going to speak to, again, that idea of racial justice. It's a human dignity issue. So I think she'll be a wonderful voice for our campus to have.
So many activities. You're also involved with our beautiful new chapel that we brought to camp, that was built about a year and a half ago. And you talked about the Sunday night masses. That's been quite a big job for you, overseeing the functioning of a chapel and the liturgies.
Yeah, it definitely has. I shouldn't say this, but when I first came to Caldwell is when I was in charge of my first mass ever.
No one would know. We think you'd have, had experience for years.
Right. That's so funny. You know, I mean, yeah, I've gone to church my whole life and been a campus minister for how many years, but liturgy has never been my focus or my part of my job, an aspect of my job.
Well, there's quite a few things to think about, right?
Exactly. So many moving parts. So here, I still remember it was Ash Wednesday Mass, the first Mass that I did after starting here, and it was like a disaster when I look back on it. So I'm like, wow,
how far I've come. The Lord was there, right?
Yes, exactly. So, but now that we have the chapel, we have the Sunday liturgies that have been really good. And while we don't get a lot of student in-person participation now, because we just don't have that many students on campus, we do stream them live, as I said. So it's nice to have that component. And I truly rely on the help and the gift of students to make these masses happen. I mean, truly. So it's just nice to be able to offer them, I'd say.
That's wonderful. You talked about Dorothy Day as someone that you, one of the holy ones that resonated with you, right? She's mm-hmm. a servant of God, which means a step on the road to sainthood. Any other particular holy ones whose thought you feel drawn to?
Yeah, definitely. I really have a special place in my heart for St. Hildegard of Bingen. And I would say most people have probably never heard of her, but I discovered her in grad school. So she was named a doctor of the church just a few years ago. And she was a mystic and a writer, a theologian. And one of my favorite things about her, I think, is what her writings are about. She really connected to kind of the cosmos and creation. And so wrote about the connection of God with creation. And just her writings are really beautiful. And they really spoke to me, I think, when I was in grad school. And plus her name is really fun to say. So I think.
And you say it very well.
Yeah, thank you. So, she was a very spiritual woman and a very intelligent woman and contributed greatly to the theological landscape, I think, in our church.
That's wonderful. So final question here. For students who might be interested or intrigued or want to inquire about campus ministry, what is it that you say that you have to offer and how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So I would say that, we have to offer just a space for them to be themselves, a space where they can kind of find genuine community with other students, honest, real conversations. They can discover God. They can, do all of those things through the scope of, of community. And I think that's really the important thing. So we have the campus ministry office. It has some couches. It's really meant to be a space where students can come experience hospitality. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to be anything. Just to come and just to show up. And students can always email me. They can always call me. So my email is COBrien@caldwell.edu or campusministry@caldwell.edu. Both emails are checked regularly, or you can just stop by the office. We're on the second floor of the Alumni Theater building in the Student Life Suite.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Colleen. This has been wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I wish you all the best this semester. Our guest has been Colleen O'Brien, Director of Campus Ministry at Caldwell University. I'm Colette Liddy. Please join us next time for Caldwell University Conversations.